What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Building Code. I'm Charlie Birtwistle, alone in Omaha in the studio, but joined virtually with...
Hey, everybody. Zach here. I would never, ever miss an episode of The Building Code.
Of course not.
I'm like someone that made me fly solo recently.
I did. Yeah. Not I, but some mysterious co-host that wasn't Zach did miss an episode earlier this week.
It was only two, so who are we talking about?
Well, before we get too into today's episode, I've been biting my tongue for a while on this because I wanted to do it live on the podcast. Zach Witowicz got another promotion recently to Director of Customer Success. So everyone at home and listening online, let's give a round of applause to Zach.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. My first love is customer success. So it's an honor to get to be part of the department, and I'm humbled. And I mean, if anyone in CS listens to this, I jokingly said, like, I don't deserve it. And I don't think I do, but it's, I love BuilderTrend, and it's been a great opportunity for me, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm obviously very happy for you, but I think what's cool in getting to do this podcast with you is I get to see you interact with our builders and our customers and thought leaders across the industry from a front row seat. So taking that and, you know, pulling it out from just this environment and displaying it onto 20,000, 30,000 customers is going to do nothing but benefit BuilderTrend and the industry as a whole. So really happy for you. I had my fingers crossed that whole time, so I didn't mean any of the nice things I said. We can fall back into our facade of not being friends now.
That's right. Well, yeah, today, speaking of our customers, we have an awesome episode with Josh Schaefer at Raj and Wilco out in Denver, Colorado. And they actually did an on-site visit, so I'm excited to talk to him a little bit about it. As a former on-site consultant. You know, I have a huge fan club for our on-site consulting team.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is like my origin story is how I think of it in my head. So let's get Josh in here and really get to it to talk about his experience with not only BuilderTrend, his on-site consulting, and really just all things construction. Hey, Josh, welcome to The Building Code. Really excited to have you on today. A little different for us. I'm virtual, so we're going to figure this out together. Normally, Charlie and I are here in the studio. Before we get into some of the topics today, you know, we always like to ask our guests, what's your story? Tell us about how you got in construction and tell us a little bit about your business.
Yeah, fellas, thanks for having me. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. Our company's located out in Denver, Colorado. I left after high school and I went to the Air Force Academy, joined the military. And I was a pilot in the military for 10 years. I grew up in construction. My father owned a framing company. And he got into building as well. So I grew up in the industry. And then when I left for, you know, high school or left for college, was, you know, I'm never coming back to this ever again. And then, you know, when I got out and separated, you know, me and my wife had started flipping houses here in Denver. And then, you know, before I knew it, had gotten my license and, you know, here we are. You know, we had started, you know, flipping houses, and now we're, you know, building our first apartment this year. So, you know, we have employees. So it's, you know, many people think I'm a little crazy for not, you know, going and flying for the airlines and grinding it out in the construction development, you know, real estate industry. But here we are, and I wouldn't give it up for anything. So really happy.
So just to help our listeners with the timeline a little bit, graduated college. You mentioned you got a company now hiring employees. That's Raj and Wilco. What was kind of the transition from kind of doing your own thing, messing around, flipping houses with your wife, to founding the company and seeing it kind of grow over the year?
Yeah, I have that, you know, entrepreneurial mindset. So, you know, timeline wise, I graduated in 2008 and I was in the military until I separated in 2020. We started our company in 2017. So for 2-3 years, it was just my wife and I like flipping houses on the side, like, you know, stepping out of the jet and then going and working on the houses and things like that. So they, you know, they would take longer than, you know, we can bang things out now. But, you know, once I separated in January of 2020, right when COVID, you know, right when the pandemic kind of kicked off, it was a little nerve wracking, but, you know, I'd have that entrepreneurial mindset. And, you know, I saw just from, you know, my interactions with subcontractors and just the industry, one, I saw just all the opportunity that was available, especially in a market like Denver. I saw the shortage, the lack of good, solid general contractors. So for me, it was, you know, just seeing that business opportunity. And then really I'd worked for the man for, you know, 10 years and was definitely over that and wanted to, you know, work for myself. And, I would have always regretted, you know, not trying it and, you know, versus like going to fly for the airlines or something like that. And, so yeah, here we are.
Did you end up in Colorado because of Colorado Springs and the Air Force Academy down there?
No, I mean, my last duty station, so my last bay where I was assigned was here in Denver. Okay. At a company called, I did like a liaison position, like it's like a test pilot for the civilian company that does a lot of, you know, the armament and things for some of the special operations planes, which one afforded me a lot of like extra side time because it was a small detachment and I didn't have a lot of oversight. So I was able to, you know, leave at 2 o'clock when I wasn't flying, you know, to go work on houses. But no, my last duty station was here in Denver. So we had already lived here. You know, we had thought about moving back to Detroit, but there wasn't that market, right? That hunger for, you know, good design and things like that just weren't there yet. And we just felt like Denver, you have all these people moving here and it was just, you know, people were, you know, buyers were just gobbling up our stuff and we were putting out a good product. So it really fit.
So then maybe tell us a little bit more. I was browsing the website before the podcast here, which looks beautiful, by the way. A little bit more about what you guys kind of specialize in. It looks like you do a little bit of everything. You mentioned building an apartment this year as well too, but what's the Raj and Wilco bread and butter?
Yeah, our bread and butter is, you know, our business is 50-50 between like client work and our own spec work. So, you know, our bread and butter is like a design build project where whether we're buying a piece of land or a client is coming to us with a piece of land and saying, hey, we want X, you know, and it was new for us in that the company started out as just a construction company. And what we found was that we were the client's first call, where I would have thought, you know, usually that first call is to maybe like an architect, right? Of like, hey, we want to build a house or we want to remodel our house. And we always felt that we found that we were the first call. Like, hey, we've got an old bungalow here in Denver we want to remodel. And it's like, well, I'm not really your first call, you know, and they're asking for bids and things like, well, I don't have anything to bid against. You know what I mean? There's no plans. You're not set up, right? So we ended up doing a ton of due diligence for those clients and like helping them get set up. And it's like, okay, call, you know, go meet with this architect first, you know, and get us some plans and we can consult along the way. And we were doing a lot of that work for free, right? And so it's just last year, we started our own like Raj and Wilco Design, where we do all of our own architecture and interior design. And that's ran by my wife, Colleen. So we kind of fell into that. And then, you know, as far as, because we also have a development company that is really our umbrella company over the construction and design company. So our bread and butter is like our own spec projects. I've never spent a dollar on any marketing advertising. So, you know, social media and selling our own projects really kicked off just, hey, look what these guys can do, right? Because I was working against the grain when I would have people call me, hey, can you build me a custom home? It was like, well, you know, I don't have a ton of experience in that, right? So there was some clients that had to kind of put their trust into me that I could get it done. So it was always very helpful to have, you know, I've never done anything in someone else's home that I haven't done on one of my own projects myself. And that's including any commercial stuff, which we've just started to get into. So, you know, as far as being in a niche, we're still trying to find like what our niche is. I'm not I'm not, to be completely honest, sure if I want to be building just custom homes for the next 20 years, or, you know, do we really love this, you know, the commercial side and building an apartment, right? Where just on the, from like a revenue stream, you know, it, you know, building a 30 unit apartment, I'd have to build 5 or 6 houses, right? To get that same type of revenue, where, you know, those bodies in terms of employees, you know, project management, supervision, you know, I can stick a PM and a super on one job site for 18 months versus like having them spread out against four or five job sites. So, you know, go back to your original question of like, hey, what's your bread and butter? I would honestly say that we're still figuring that out a little bit. You know, we've tried honestly everything. For me right now, especially on the client side, is, you know, I'm a big problem solver. You know, I love figuring things out. And, you know, so, you know, we don't turn down basement remodels and we don't turn down like new custom homes. We kind of flip the tables a little bit, like during our due diligence process of making sure that relationship will work. You know what I mean? I'm all about, you know, enjoying that experience of building someone a home. So, you know, I don't want me or my people to become, you know, just these whipping posts that, you know, it's like, just build this. And we like to have that relationship, right? And we really explain to our clients that, you know, you go from a couple of first dates to having kids, right? Overnight sometimes. And so you really have to make sure that relationship works out well, and that, you know, can we see, you know, having a beer in the backyard of this new home, you know, 18 months from now, right? Is that relationship, because there's going to be ups and downs, right? Of building someone a home or doing the full interior gut, like there's just so many surprises, and you know, you're talking to them every day, and there's so many things to work through. So you have to be sure that, hey, this relationship is going to work. So, you know, I've definitely turned down a lot of work because I didn't see that good fit, right, with that client. To go back to your original question, we're not really sure yet what our direct, you know, exact niche is. We're just honestly enjoying what we have going on right now. You know, we're fully booked out for 2023. We've already got some stuff planned for 2024. So, you know, we're all about, you know, especially for me as an entrepreneur, like finding that balance, you know, between enjoying life, you know, especially during my time in the military, I was gone a lot. You know, I did 8 deployments in 10 years, and it was a lot, right? So there's like this finding this good balance between, you know, me and my wife have 4 kids and they're entering sports and activities. And, you know, it's like, we're not 25, 26 anymore, where we still have that hunger and we'll grind, but we can't work 16 hours a day. You know what I mean? That sometimes it takes. So, for me and my wife, it's about finding just a good balance, a work life balance, and being entrepreneurs.
It makes a ton of sense. A couple things sticking out to me. I think it's a good thing to diversify the type of work you're doing in construction. We've had a lot of guests on the podcast, economists even come in and say they see that a lot. You know, you never know what part of the residential or commercial market is going to go where. You know, in 2008, the housing market goes down and there was some impact on the commercial side, but a lot of builders started to take on more of that. So, and I've even worked with clients where they do have both insurance. They always have continuous work. So I think that's really normal. It makes a ton of sense. The second thing that's really interesting is we've had a lot of like different guests kind of give us different perspectives on the construction lifestyle. So I really like your take on you were a man of service. You worked for the military. You sacrificed so much. And now construction is a means to end up, you know, give your employees a great life, give you a great life. And I really love that kind of mindset. From a business strategy, which is like, this is a means to an end to give back to my community in a different way, but still be able to enjoy my time with my family.
Yep. No, exactly. And a lot of those things are just so, you know, so connected from, you know, my employees. And like you mentioned, you know, not only do I want to have a good work-life balance, I also don't want my employees work until 8 o'clock every night, right? Because then it leads to burnout, and the industry is hard enough, right? As it is with, you know, that I have to, we have to constantly get better and better at like what we call expectation management with our clients, right? And we have this growing list of, hey, make sure we talk about all of these things. So if there's a lesson learned from another project, make sure we're telling these new clients, like, hey, expect this, right? And especially like logistical nightmares we were dealing with. And those, because those things, you know, everyone always wants something to blame, or it needs to end somewhere. And it usually ends with the general contractor. So it's, you know, setting ourselves up so that we, you know, trying to avoid that bad conversation at all costs, which, you know, again, a lot of times now falls on my project managers. And, you know, it's such a people industry, right? And from the business side of things, I always, you know, kind of have that McDonald's mindset of, you know, one day, like, I don't want to sell my company, but one day maybe, right? And you have to set that up so that someone could come in and buy the company, right? And it is such a people driven like industry and company. Like, that is the value that we bring, is my people. And like, I am fully aware of that, and I'm not, nothing that's not lost on me. And you know, I have to keep and train great people, right? If you ask any other builder, GC, or even a plumber, like what their biggest pain point is, it's finding good people. You know, I even have to, as the boss, explain that to my clients, right? When they're upset, because they, you know, a lot of them are high net worth individuals who operate at a high speed, and they expect certain things. And, you know, I have to kind of help set those expectations sometimes of the struggles I face as an employer, right? And keeping and finding good talent. And it's hard enough to even pull people into the industry, man, let alone retain them, right? It's the biggest struggle we have. So I think, you know, that work-life balance and the happiness, man, I'm trying to solve that, right? Of how do I, because there's what I found, how do we make every day a good day, right? And no one wants to live, no one wants to look ahead to the week knowing that, man, two of these 5 days are going to be terrible. It's like, man, like, what, you don't want to start the week, right? Like, it's, that sounds terrible. So when I'm watching football on Sunday night, you know, it's always, are you looking forward to going to work on Monday? Or it's like, man, I don't want my Sunday to ever end, right? We've all like been there.
The Sunday scaries are real.
Oh, they're real.
It's amplified real. By where you work.
Yeah. And it's even worse, right? If you got a client to call at 9 o'clock on Monday morning and tell them, hey, you got a $10,000 change order coming their way, right? That's an even a worse situation. That's a bad situation to be in. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, it's refreshing to talk to you and your perspective on not just your employee relationships, but your client relationships. You know, Zach and I, working at Builder Trend, we talk about home builders a lot. And I think it's oftentimes easy for us to kind of get lost in the obscurity of it all. It's like, people build houses, they move on, they make money, they do another estimate, they make more money, they move on. And that's why we love doing the podcast, is getting to talk to people like you. And I think just the mindset of like, can I envision them having a beer on the back patio? Or is this going to be buying a house and building a house, other than getting married and having kids and stuff, is the largest thing you'll do in your life. So to be a part of that and make it special for that person is refreshing to hear, for sure.
Yeah. And we get that part, you know. I tell that to our employees, like, it doesn't seem like much at times, but like, I love working for maybe the blue collar clients here in Denver that, you know, bought their house 15 years ago. They're going to do, you know, a line of credit or a refi to pull that money out. And it's like, man, this couple is trusting us with, a lot of times now, you know, our min projects are like $700,000-$800,000. That's a lot of money. And we get sometimes we get numb to the fact of like, oh, okay, they have $1 million budget. And it's like, man, no, they're trusting with you $1 million. And a lot of times, like, these people work their butts off, right, to save and save and buy this house at the right time. And they're never going to do this again. For a lot of it, they're not going to go through this process maybe again until they retire, if that, right? So it's, we understand that and appreciate it. And I don't let, you know, our people ever forget that point. And, you know, that we try and deliver not only a good product, but just like a really good experience, you know, for them.
Well, you know, speaking of relationships, that's, I work at our customer success team. We brought you on today to talk about our on-site consulting service. I used to be an on-site consultant myself. And that was my favorite part about working in that service, was like those relationships you build. I still have builders that I talk to. So you did it. Who was your consultant? I just want to give them a little shout out. And then, you know, tell us about your Chloe. Oh, my girl.
She was the bomb. Yeah. Everyone loved her.
Yeah. Chloe is a superstar. She's got the brightest of futures. So tell me about that experience and kind of, you know, what made you go with on-site consulting, and how did you come to the decision to, you know, go through that process to kind of expedite your builder trend implementation?
Yeah, our story is probably very similar to a lot of other builders. We had signed up, you know, our builder trend account was probably nearing like 2 years old, and it was just 6 months ago that we did the on-site consulting. And so, you know, when, not that we were necessarily doing things wrong, it was as we grew and grew, right? You saw, we had our builder trend account. We only had, you know, maybe two or three projects. You know, we weren't utilizing all the functionality, but you can kind of get away with it. But it's like now we have, you know, 10, 12 projects going on. So it was, I got to a point in over the summer where my PMs are just on me, right? It's like, oh, this is, we need a better process, but it gotta be a better process. And, you know, for me, it was, I'm a prideful guy. I let my pride get in the way for probably 6 months, right? I'm like, no, we can figure this out. We don't have to, you know. So it was, we had done a year of just trying to work our way through it until we, you know, we got to a point. My senior PM and I, Cassie, went to Builder Trend on the Road. It was, you know, hosted here in Denver. And we learned about the on-site consulting, and, you know, we talked to, I forget who the salesman was, but it was like, oh, this is exactly what we need. And it was, you know, once we started that on-site consulting with just that, you know, kind of due diligence period where we're meeting once or twice a week, you know, which a lot of it was just kind of music to our ears, right? Of hey, we're not alone. And, you know, Chloe kind of reminding us of that, of like, hey, you guys aren't alone. And it was so refreshing to really, from her, like, hey, this is what other builders do, and you guys aren't alone. Like, we've, and it was just good to hear. Like, we thought it was like doom and gloom of like, oh, how do we fix, how do we make it better? And Chloe's like, oh, it's not a big deal, you know what I mean? It's like, we got to do this and this. And, you know, it was really a mindset shift where we dealt with that a lot in the military. But here, you know, that analogy held true of, you know, builder train can't like be customized like every single builder, right? It's everyone has to learn the tools and how it works, how it's connected. And then we can customize it just the way we operate to use the functionality. And, you know, that's what I had gotten to in, you know, one of my first conversations with Chloe was like, I know we have to make this work because I've been out there. I've been searching. Like, I'm a systems and processes guy, and I want this to be clean. And there isn't another solution. You know, for our size company, there's just not another good solution. So we, and yeah, so I mean, through that whole process with her, it just, I know it was like literally we came out the other side of the tunnel, like almost as like a different company. And, you know, and I'm not like, like Builder Trend's not paying me to say this, right? But it was just, it's so different now. And the struggles that like my PMs and, you know, they feel better, right? They're more confident in the job they do. They know how everything is connected, right? And it's just almost like a light switched, right? Where it just worked, and it worked out really well. And then, you know, for any other builders or companies out there using it that don't want to take that next step, you know, because of the cost that's maybe associated with it, you know, it's worth it. You know, it's worth it. And it just helped us tremendously. And now we're really, really firing all cylinders. And honestly, it's so nice then one of the outcomes on my end is, you know, once we get click in and, you know, my supers are filling out their daily logs like they should and connecting everything, it's such an enjoyable experience for me as the boss, right? To now, that's the first thing I do in the morning is go in and read all the daily logs, right? It's because I don't, you know, I try to tell the PMs and so like, I don't want to talk to you guys every day. I love you guys, but I don't want to talk to you every day. Or like, if we can use this system, right? And you can lean on me and use me when you need to. And without, you know, without build a trend, you know, things, little things like that, like that, that's not even possible, right? It's back to texts and emails and phone calls. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously, huge shout out, Chloe. of course, she listens to every episode, I'm sure. But if she doesn't, she'll definitely have to check this one out.
Texting her right after this to, you know, give her the heads up. So right. Just so you know.
One thing that you mentioned in there that we kind of glossed over, Josh, with the on-site consulting, and again, I don't want to make this super salesy pitchy, but I do think it's important to call out, is it's not just the day or two that they come out to your business and location, but it's all the pre-work too. Could you maybe talk to the listeners just a little bit about what kind of like that pre-work and the recurring sessions are like leading up to the actual visit?
Right. I would argue that, yes, we did, I want to say about 6 weeks of pre-work, and then it was the 2 days of on-site consulting, and then it even extended past that for like, I think another 3-4 weeks where, you know, as we implemented the things we did that we, you know, set in place during the on-site period, you know, that follow-up with Chloe of, hey, how's this working? Do we need to pivot at all? So yeah, I would say the whole thing was more like 2 months long. I was really impressed, you know, with the pre-work that was done, and that it was not, we got all the hard work done. And when I say hard work, like really digging into how we do things. And so that when Chloe was here in person, like our PMs and, you know, me, Cassie, we had like specific questions, right? That we could like really dial things in, and we weren't wasting anyone's time, right? So it never at any point turned into this like educational, where it was more of like an informative session, you know, never got there. And I could see if we didn't have the pre-work that period, those 2 days, man, you could just got lost and then, you know, going down a bunch of rabbit holes and teaching people what, you know, how to use estimates and bid packages. Like that wasn't the point. And I think, you know, even, you know, I'm in a networking group, and that's when I, you know, advertise or promote like, hey, the on-site consulting piece of Builder Trend, it's, I always caveat, I'm like, make sure that you and your employees, like, you know, the system really well, so that if you're going to spend this money and then, you know, someone's going to come out and do this training, that the team is set up and like, you know what you want to get out of it. You know, and for us, it was, you know, that pre-work was so important, and to get through all the grind work, you know what I mean? Of like, hey, how do you sign on a lead? And it was nice just to get all that over with, where, and then, you know, just Chloe asking questions of us, like, oh, I've never thought about how we do that, right? And it's like getting all that out of the way, to where even those conversations during the on-site consulting wasn't a 1v1 with like me and Chloe, right? We had already worked out all those things. So like Chloe came just prepared to really get, you know, to really dig in and focus on, you know, the pain points and how do we navigate them.
Yeah, Josh, we hear this a lot, as I've worked with a lot of customers, and it's really interesting because I think there is kind of a point of no return where you really commit. Some people do the on-site, do that. Some people figure it out on their own because they've been paying for the subscription for 2 years, and similar story. Sometimes it's both. I think what I'm always interested in, because I think the, you know, you joke about having a lot of pride, like that's not a common trait in contractors. They're not, you know, they're not, I hate to stereotype, but like they've had a process that they've done for a long time. It's made them successful. And when they come to a software vendor and they're like, hey, you're going to have to change a little bit, their reactions can be pretty, they can be pretty like, oh, really? Like, I thought I could just get it to do everything I want. And so I'm curious, like in your experience, you know, Chloe's uncovering these things in her process. Like, how much did you actually have to change fundamental structures of your business to make Builder Trend fully work for you?
So I didn't have to change too much. I'm, you know, in the military, we say, you know, if you had enough bananas, you could teach a monkey to fly. And so
I'm using that in a meeting next week.
I'm putting that on a t-shirt.
And it's so true. Like people like look at like me flying in a jet and being like, oh my God, like you just must be the smartest person in the world. Right. Like all these guys doing, it's like, that's not it. You know, it's like we do. That's the one thing the military is good at. It's like training, you know, 22-year-old lieutenants and handing them over a $30 million plane to fly. And they get it. And that's taxpayer money. Right. So me coming in, like, you know, and the way we were flipping houses, like I'm not running my business, you know, seat of the pants, Excel sheets, Google Drive, four different, you know, Airtable and all these other things. I ain't doing it. Right. And so I'm a big believer. And what really I loved about BuildaTrend in the beginning was like the to-dos and the checklists. And because I'm a firm believer that even though every house is very custom, it's different, the process is the same. So I'm a big believer that I can build a 300 step checklist to build a house. And that's what's beautiful about BuildaTrend is like, it had that. And I was like, oh, I globbed onto that, right? Where it's like, oh, this fits how like I want to do business, right? And you know, the more, even it doesn't take, we always thought that, and it's still a little bit like our subcontractors are a bit of a limiting factor and really allowing the system to work at its full capacity, right? We're always struggling with, hey, stop bothering me for when you're going to do your rough end plumbing, like check the BuildaTrend, right? And you know, that's a bit of a process, but you know, we're even working through it. And I find that after a little bit, and you know, we invite our subcontractors to the office. It's like, hey, I know this, you know, I know you're not, you know, technologically savvy, but hey, bring your computer in. I will take time out of my day to show you how to open up this big package request in your email. The plans are right there, you know, and then you come back in, submit it. I don't even need you to open in a BuildaTrend account, but I do need you to bid like this. You know what I mean? And we're pretty, you know, it's helped, you know, we're somewhat stern. It's like, hey, if you don't want to do business our way, then, you know, I'm sorry, but we can't do business with you. And we have let go of a lot of subs where it's like, hey, we have this new standard now and it's the expectation of our clients. And we're going to have that same expectation, as with you. Right. And that's what separates the good subcontractors from like a business side, because there's a lot of good craftsmen, there's not a lot of good business owners. And sometimes they forget that and they lose that. And that's, you know, we're big on documentation and being organized, and I'm not going to chase people down for payments to make sure, you know, you're getting paid, and we'll use, you know, use the system and the process, and let's allow those things to be simple so we can focus on being out in the field more and doing the stuff that matters. So.
Yeah, that's, I feel like the only other question I have for you then is, you know, kind of what's next. I feel like you did the onsite, you learned a ton, you established the processes, you're hiring more people. What's kind of next on your to-do list, or what are you looking forward to the most in the upcoming year?
In the upcoming year, I think it's, for me personally, getting back to a point where I'm just working, you know, 8 hours a day, you know, putting more trust into my employees now that we have, you know, a good system and process through BuildaTrend in place and letting that kind of work itself out, you know, continuing to grow the business in terms of, you know, maybe stepping into more commercial work. You know, we just hired our first like bookkeeper, and so that was, you know, been a real joy, and making that connection between, you know, say QuickBooks and BuildaTrend, and you know, maybe fixing that process a little bit. And that's, you know, one thing my hope for BuildaTrend is, you know, they kind of incorporate more of that like financial side. And because I would say right now we use BuildaTrend, Gusto and QuickBooks, right? And it's like, how do you make it even better? You know what I mean? It's like, man, I feel like you guys have figured out like 85-90% of it. And you know, so that's my hope for the best. I think BuildaTrend is a lot residential based. So we're still working through, you know, how does it work on the commercial side? And while I have a high hopes that it's going to be all, you know, all fine, but you know, we're right there. And I think, you know, overall, if I was to say one last thing, it's, you know, like anything, and someone said this at the on the road thing, it's like, man, you're going to get out of this what you put into it. This doesn't happen by itself, right? Build-A-Trim does not make a disorganized company organized. Like, you got to put the work in, you got to set up things correctly, right? Do that, put that 120 hours in now, set your templates up and do those things. Cause then, man, I'm in that place right now where we did do all that hard work and it feels so good. You know what I mean? Everything is just really clicking right now. And, so yeah, I think we're excited for 2023, looking for a little more sunshine, but, yeah, we're excited.
Josh, man, we could talk for you 3 hours of your time. This has been an amazing conversation that it just flowed right on by. We have to call it for today, but is there any, you know, last parting words you can give our listeners about, kind of recommendations on, you know, how to get started with Build-A-Trim?
Reach out, go to your website, reach out. I will say that the customer service and, you know, the access that you have available to even down to my super, like it's bar none the best I've ever dealt with, even during my time in the military. So, you know, even if I know the answer sometimes to a question from like a PM, like I'll force them to just log on and ask you guys, and not that. And that's just so that they get comfortable with that. Right. Cause, so yeah, I think it's fairly easy to reach out, and, I can almost assuredly say, people won't regret it.
Well, Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on today. And hope to see you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right, Charlie, we just had Josh in here talking about all things in his business and his Build-A-Trim experience, his on-site consulting. And I'm going to actually take it. Usually I kick it to you, but I'm grabbing it for myself.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Right. It must be that giant coffee that you drank throughout the course of the interview.
It's the director title. It's the whole thing. It's just going in my head. That was awesome. We obviously talked to Josh a lot about his business. And we always talk to our customers about our business, but for whatever reason, I felt like we got into some topics that maybe we hadn't even planned to talk about today. And you know, my big takeaway is this is a common theme coming up again and again. It's like a hiring strategy. The number one problem that people face is getting people to good people that you can rely on. And hopefully our listeners who listen to the Building Code, you know, understand that those challenges are not isolated, right? But having kind of a process around it and really having a standard that really stuck out to me when he was talking about his subcontractors and that they, you know, he's turned people away because they don't follow a process. And like that takes a lot of sacrifice in your own workflow and processes. So I'm really, really interesting to get into those things. And obviously I Chloe coming up, I literally like, I may have been the coffee. But I was so jacked. Like I know I'm on Zoom, so maybe my face isn't like on YouTube, but like I just have the goofiest smile because I can see myself. And she's incredible. Our on-site team does an amazing job and it just fires me up, which is why I wanted to take the intro. What were your takeaways for the outro?
Well, Zach, I think you just about nailed them all there. For people that are listening and not watching on YouTube, Zach had like a 5-gallon mug of coffee that he drank throughout the course of that.
Caffeine, baby.
But no, I Josh was great. I think the only thing that stuck out to me that you didn't already hit on was the way, you know, I asked what seemingly was an easy question that turned out to be quite diverse is what's your bread and butter? And it was so fascinating to hear him talk through how and why they kind of don't, or I shouldn't say they don't have a bread and butter. They have about 10 different bread and butters. And I think you made the comment when we had, you know, Mark Bowd, the economist on, that was one of the things that he recommended, you know, small to medium sized home builders do is diversify their business. See if there's, you know, small commercial projects that you can take on. See if you can get into the remodeling space. And that's just going to not only increase your client base, you know, for the next round of projects and word of mouth and things like that, but also just make you a more kind of solid foundation business to be able to weather all sorts of different kind of storms. So yeah, Josh was on. I feel like everyone are, you know, Nicole does such a great job booking all of our guests. Every person that we talk to is just I'm fascinated by. So yeah, I think that was about it. You got anything else?
That's it. Just make sure you like, comment, subscribe, check us out on YouTube. Sometimes we're in the studio, sometimes we're not. You never know where we're going to be.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening, and we'll check you guys next time.
I'm Charlie Burtwistle.
I'm Zach Witowicz.
See you then. Thanks for watching the video. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content brought to you by Builder Trend.